Good morning. My name is Barbara Cockrell. I'm your host for today. Welcome to Declared Victory. Are there any first-time callers on the line? Well, we're all family. Praise God.
Amen.
As you know, today is Make It Happen Monday. This is where we do service acts and good deeds for someone as Christ would do. Let's be the Jesus that some people may never see. Your Make It Happen Monday moment could be a life-changing connection for someone. Tonight, you're invited to join us this evening for Marriage Matters for married couples and marriage hopefuls from 6 to 7 Pacific Standard Time. You will hear real-life lessons and raw discussions as God planned for it to be. Family, if you have been blessed by the call and understand and believe in the global vision, and you are led to partner with Declared Victory in changing lives one deed at a time, please visit the Victory Room private forum, the website, the mobile app, and click the link to donate. For all that have decided to give, we thank you so very much, and the people you bless thank you also. Today, I did not see any new prayer requests on our online, but Bubbly is thankful because she went to the doctor on Thursday and she got treatment for her knee, and she's just thankful for being able to listen to God. Linda is also so grateful for God keeping her and grateful for her grandson, Mario Jones, and she's just thankful for her family. And I just put in a prayer request for the Declared Victory family. Our lineup for today, scripture is by the Mrs., and our declaration today is by the Bishop. Prayer warrior number one is Ravonda, number two is Jeff, number three is Pretty Patrice, and our closer is Sabrina. Our scripture is by the Mrs., our declaration today is by the Bishop. Our prayer warrior number one is Ravonda. Number two is Jeff. Number three is Pretty Patrice. And Sabrina will close us out today. Please don't forget to mute your lines. We record this call, and we want the call to be as clear as possible. So if you're not speaking, please mute your line. May God bless you. Have a blessed day. And I'll see you at the top of the hour as I pass the call.
Good morning. I will be reading Psalms 119, 105, and 106. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the doers of his holy word. As I pass the call.
Bishop?
Well, yes, I'm here. Praise the Lord. I thought there was another person to pray. Well, praise the Lord this morning, everyone. We give God praise for the privilege we have to worship once again this morning and to receive the revelation. And I'm thankful to have been selected and chosen this morning to share with you what God has been sharing with me. And I'm happy that it's Make It Happen Monday, because what we want to talk about today is how to make it happen in the spirit realm as we talk about the anatomy of faith. And the passage that the Holy Spirit has given me is one that we probably heard about. It's Mark, the fifth chapter, starting at verse 25 through 30, and we know it as the woman that had the issue of blood. But there are some things that I'd like to share with you before we get into the body of the passage, that having to do with how she touched and how things actually happen and the methodology and how faith moves and what faith sees and what faith says and all those intricate details. You know, we just want to look at the intro into the passage, you know, and the word says it begins by saying a certain woman had an issue of blood. And there are words that ring out to me, like a certain woman having issues that are bleeding, many physicians, and becoming destitute and desperate to the point that we spend all in life. And believe it or not, you know, this is an ideal time for the Holy Ghost to do its work, because we serve a God who works in the dark. My. Thank God for that. He works in the dark. He, Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the deep, and then he said, let there be. So darkness had to be in effect. But it says a certain woman, and I like that, because Jesus understands how we sometimes feel that that's somebody else's issue. And when the Bible says a certain woman, it leaves it open for all of us to insert ourselves in the narrative. Because if it would have said a certain name, they got that issue. I don't have that issue. That's his issue or that's her issue. You see, so we limit the application and the universality of Scripture when sometimes we put names on. And this is why in the Bible there were so many things done by unknown people, great miracles, because God didn't want us to get lost in the identity of the person that sometimes blurs the revelation. And then it says, a certain woman that had an issue of blood. And a lot of times our issues bleed, glory to God, and we thank God for the remedies that he has. And this, ladies, I admonish the women of God to really work this here, because it gets a little delicate for a man when we understand, you know, what's really going on, where she had a problem with her monthly bodily purification system. That's the best way I can say it. But women, it's a great revelation for you to get in, because I'm sure you know women who've had this issue, you know, and it's not limited to gender, because many of us have issues as men that we're bleeding, and for the period of time that we say, Lord, how long? 12 years going on the second cycle change now, because, you know, the numerically speaking in the Word of God, when it comes to biblical numerology, not that other kind that tries to divine and replace God. But, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, second cycle, 11, you know, 21, 22, 23, 24, 30, 31, 32, 41, 42, 51, 61. So every 10, there is a cycle change. So she's in her second year of this thing, and the question is reverberating in her mind, how long? My God, how long will this thing be? And all of us have been there. And then it wasn't like she was not doing something, because it's futile to tell people, why don't you get yourself together? Well, if they could do that, they would already done that. That's a futile word that we sometimes say to people. You need to get yourself together. You need to straighten up. No. She was going to many physicians, and she spent all that she had trying to. And what we have to understand, that human nature that's not led by the Holy Spirit is always going to be in a place where it is, you know, suffering at the hands of many physicians. And those physicians are different concepts, different schools of thought, different theologies, different theosophies that do not satisfy the needs that we have. And the Bible says sometimes when you've tried to get help, this is the psychology of backsliding or getting to the place, you know, where we go back. When she spent all that she had, she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when you try to make efforts and your efforts fail, that's when a great depth of relapse sometimes takes place in people's lives. But we give God praise. Now there's a bright light that shines into this dark room. And verse 27 says, when she had heard of Jesus. My God, the story begins to change now, because a bright light is shining into the room, and the first principle of the anatomy of faith we want to focus on right now is that faith is stimulated by being in an environment that causes us to pay attention to God. Faith is stimulated when we put ourselves in an environment where miracles are taking place. And that's what Romans 10:17 means when it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but that hearing is not just to hear it once. In the Greek language, it bears out that it has to be repeatedly heard over and over again, and that's, you know, a thing that many believers, we have misunderstood. You know, I was saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost on May 21st, such a date, as though it was a one-time encounter. No. That baptism has to happen continuously after you are in Christ, so that whole visitation can take us to the fullness of the stature, because the just shall live by faith. And the Bible says we travel from glory to glory. So it's not just one situation. We're baptized often, glory to God. And we are hearing more and more. And that's the whole principle of the need for repetition, for the Holy Spirit to impress things and write them indelibly upon our spirit man, glory to God, so that word can get to the core issue, my God, the core issue of what our issue is that's caused us to bleed. Another facet of the anatomy of faith is found in the next verse. When she had heard of Jesus, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes. The second point we want to remember about the anatomy of faith is that faith talks to itself. And faith has a certain vocabulary. Ah, my God. Thank you, Father. Yes. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm able to run through a troop and leap over a wall. Nothing by any means shall hurt me. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I'm not going to be complaining about my need. Glory to God, as though God is not alive. So faith talks to itself. And we know the scriptures encourage yourself in the Lord, speaking to yourselves with spiritual psalms and making a melody into your heart, treading the winepress alone, making your own grapes, being astute at knowing how to create my own joy. My God, that's not dependent on my happiness. It's not depending on what's happening, because if nothing's happening, my happiness is still intact, glory to God, and I'm not addicted to events and activities. And yes, watch this, and even Bible conferences that we go to and fired up and ignited for a season, and then there's a relapse because we are trying to allow something to medicate what only God can annihilate. My God, for that revelation, Father, thank you. Yes, we're trying to medicate only what God can annihilate, and I just heard the Holy Ghost again, and we can't annihilate until we locate. Yes, we got to know what the core issue is, because a lot of times, and I'm talking about me now, you know, I've given testimonies, you know, that there was victory involved in the testimony, but that testimony was not the core issue of my thing. You see, there was some other stuff going on that because sin comes in groupings, and demonic spirits, you know, come in groupings, and we think we got one problem. I remember one time we were conducting a deliverance ministry, and a little girl came in, you know, with skirt all short, and everybody started, I rebuked that spirit of lust. I said, the Lord tell them, shut up. Everybody be quiet. It's not lust. She has a spirit of rejection, and it's not lust. She's not doing anything, but she needs the attention. She wants someone to look at her. So we got to trust the Holy Ghost to give us the core issue, to bring it to the surface. My God, yes, to bring it to the surface so it can be located, so then it can be annihilated in Jesus' name. My. So that all happens as we talk to ourselves, because we got to develop a relationship, my God, between the mouth and our own ear before it gets to anybody else's ear, because the Bible says your spirit must bear witness that you are the Son of God. Not nobody else's affirmation, not nobody else's ordination, not nobody else's consecration, but our own spirit must bear witness. Yes, God, I just heard the Holy Ghost, because if somebody else ordains us but it's not confirmed in our spirit, then we labor with the spirit of being unworthy. My. And when we put on the proper stage where our credentials took us, where our character couldn't keep us, then we find failure. My God. So we thank God for that second revelation. The third revelation is right along the same passage. For if I can just touch the hem of his garments, I shall be made whole. Faith gives us mental pictures, glory to God, the ability to see yourself differently, because faith puts technicolor photographs in the heart of the believer, seeing themselves saved, delivered, set free before they even out the stall. Now, she's still bound. Nothing's changed in her physiology, but her vision has changed. And what we're seeing here is we're seeing the distinction and the difference in sight and vision. Because if I could just touch the hem of his garment, that was a point of contact for her. That was what she saw in the physical realm. But vision moved out of the physical realm of just sight until she began to see vision, and she saw herself whole. My God. And that's powerful, because, you see, you can't do what you can't see. And you'll never see what you're not looking for. And the word declares that he will appear unto him that's looking for him. Glory to God. This is why we got to frame the blessings, my God, as apples of gold and pictures of silver. When God does something, this is why in the Word of God, some of the great things that were done, they were memorialized. And when David took off the head of Goliath, that sword was put in a frame inside Saul's office. Saul only had it in there because of his credential as the leader, but he didn't deserve the sword to be in his office because he wouldn't even fight. Ah, yes, yes, sometimes the protege has to advise the mentor. My God, that's the time in which we're living. Yes, because the Holy Ghost is dealing with people from the gate, that when they open their mouth in new believers class, it sounds like they've been saved for 20 years. They're just fresh out the water, fresh out the womb, because God is raising up proteges that have been taught by the Holy Ghost that just need mentors for some things. I don't need a mentor to confirm who I am and what my connection is. I just need to learn how to be discipled so I know how to walk this thing out in Jesus' name. Glory to God. So we got to develop that relationship between our ear and our mouth. And there's a passage that impressed me so much in Lamentations, the third chapter and the 51st verse, and it says, "My eye affects my heart when it comes to the daughters of Zion." And that's a powerful scripture that shows a correlation between what we see and what we feel. Glory to God. Because we can't do what we can't see, and we got to be able to see that thing afar off before it gets nigh, and before we get, you know, to the place that the devil would try to blind our vision. The fifth thing that's important is, it says here in verse 29, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague." And this has been powerful to me, to help me, because, you see, what you get victory over is determined by the clarity of what you see. You see, she saw victory. She saw herself change, but there were still obstacles. And the Bible says the obstacle was she came in the press. They tried to keep her back. There were people in front, you know, gender bias and status bias and racial bias and economic bias and physical appeal bias, all these kinds of things. That crowd is always present when it comes to the blessings of God, because Satan will use anything to stop us from getting to our wealthy place. Yes, so she came behind in the press, and it's, we got to see something with clarity before we reach our destiny, and that's the thing that gets us to press past the obstacle. Because if I don't see something bigger than my obstacle, then my obstacle is going to slay me. Glory to God. And the Bible says it like this: Moses endured by seeing him who's invisible. That's why he could forsake the money and the prestige and the crown and the scepter of the Egyptian pharaoh, is because he saw something bigger. Yes, and we got to see something bigger than what we have. And I just heard the Holy Ghost, no matter, yes, yes, right now, my taste bud and your taste bud should be in the land of destiny. And no matter what Satan places on our plate today, we have no appetite for his dainties because our taste bud is already in destiny. Ah, my God. We're just passing through. We connected somewhere else. I think that little group out of Atlanta, Dominion Air, you know, them brothers singing the little hip-hop type gospel stuff. But one song just ministered to me. It says, I'm already gone. I'm already gone. I'm here, but I'm already gone. The place I'm going to, I already live there, and my address is already there, glory to God, and I'm tasting my destiny now. That's what happens and causes us to press through the obstacles that are set before us. And then, you know, on my closing thought, the sixth principle of the anatomy of faith is the concept of when consecration is pure, results are immediate. When consecration is pure, results are immediate. And this is how it reads in the scripture. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. This wasn't the kind of miracle we had to wait for and get a testimony later about how it was when you went back to the doctor. The doctor was in effect right here and there, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. I had that happen to me when I was ministering in Ghana. Glory to God. I had that thing happening to me in Ghana when I ministered to a person that I felt right in my hand a certain weight and a certain power, and there was an instant miracle. Only one time was it instant like that. The other times I had to get a report. But watch this. She felt in her body that she was healed, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. So when the consecration is pure, the results can be immediate. And let me say it like this. The Holy Ghost gave me this thought to pen 2 years ago, and it's the reason why some people change faster than others. And it goes like this. The quality and degree of your surrender determines the depth and the pace of your change. The quality and degree of your surrender determines the depth and the pace of your change. Because her faith was so absolute, because she had talked to herself, because she had seen herself whole already, because her vision was bigger than sight, and because what she was striving for was bigger than the obstacle that was before her, the Bible says when she made contact, she was instantly healed. Now, you know, this is a law that also works in reverse, because my grandfather, who died an alcoholic, used to sit in the window every day. And his boy would come at 9 o'clock waiting for the liquor store to open. And he'd be waking up in the morning, shaking and trembling. El Zany Patterson, my God. And he would be in that window. And as soon as his partner would come, he'd give him the money. But as soon as he gave him the money, his shakes stopped. And his spirit and his sickness was gone because he knew that when his buddy got back with that bottle, he would be all right. It's a little crude and it's a little flip, but the law works. And what I'm saying is we got to understand that a lot of stuff that happens by faith, it operates by law and not just by love. And this is why a lot of loving Christians are still sick. Loving Christians are still broke because they think that everything is just by love. No, most of them, I just heard the Holy Ghost. This is why an unbeliever can have your blessing because they're working the laws. And the Bible says God will cause his sun to shine on the just and the unjust, and he's going to honor whoever honors his law, if they're saved, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, or whoever they are. He's going to honor that because it's a law that works. So we give God praise for these 6 points of the anatomy of faith, and we pray that God would cause those thoughts to be developed and be amalgamated to the uniqueness of the vessels that are listening under the sound of my voice, Father, that you would apply these principles to the deficits in our lives that will cause us to grow to the place of significance, and that we could drip a fragrant influence for those that you send in our environment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, we thank you this morning. Father God, we thank you this morning for our lesson on faith. God, we bless you this morning for who you are and all that you have been to us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're stretching our faith to meet the miracles, the many miracles that you have performed in our lives, Lord Jesus. When it's out of man's hands, God, we realize that you can do your perfect work in us and through us. We bless you this morning for just waking us up and giving us another day to get it right, another day that our faith, Lord Jesus, can be walked out and people can see your work through us and in us. God, we bless you this morning for our health and our strength, Lord Jesus. God, and at times when we're bent over in this thing, Lord God, we realize that if we can look up, Lord Jesus, we can get up. God, if we can see you in every situation, every hard trial, every difficult moment, Lord God, we realize that's another day, that's another time, that's another moment that somebody else can see you and see your many exploits in our lives. God, we bless you this morning, and we give you praise, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you that before time, Lord God, we were on your mind. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have prepared everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. The expanse of the earth, when we look into the heavens, when we see the trees, God, when we see all the things that you have done, Lord God, we realize that you did it all for us. God, this morning we give you a tithe of our morning. We give you the first tithe of our morning, Lord Jesus. We meet here and we say thank you. God, we ask that you forgive us for everything that we may have done, the things that we left out, Lord God. We ask that you forgive us right now in the name of Jesus. God, and even as we come before your throne to cry out on behalf of others, Lord Jesus, we first say thank you. We first appreciate, Lord Jesus, all that you have done for us. God, we first recognize who you are in our lives. God, and we come bowed right now in the name of Jesus, our lives, Lord Jesus, put before you, because we don't know anywhere else to go but to bring it to you, Lord Jesus. God, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice for us, Lord God. We thank you for all that you have done for us and how our lives and how our lives are coming together, Lord Jesus, how our moments in time, Lord Jesus, when we look back and we saw that it was you all the time, even when it didn't feel right, God, we bless you this morning because we realize that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And today, God, we take joy in knowing you. We take joy in having a relationship with you. We take joy in knowing that if it had not been for you who was on our side, where would we be? God, we thank you for our faith this morning. God, we thank you for our faith this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have a lively hope. Oh, God, we bless you. We thank you for great expectations because we expect you to move, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you because we have an expected hope. God, we have a lively hope, and so we don't even mourn like people who don't know you. We don't even live like people who don't know you, God, but we realize that you can even if you don't. God, my hands are lifted to you this morning because of who you are and who you have been to me, and you have loved us perfectly. Oh, my God, you've loved us perfectly, completely, and uniquely, Lord Jesus. I seek after no other. God, this morning, because you have been so good to me, you've been so good to us this morning that we just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus. And God, before you, we ask you for anything, we just want you to know that we love you. And our hands are reached up in praise. Our hands are reached up in worship this morning. And we stop what we do, what we're doing, just to give you praise this morning. We woke up this morning expecting to get on this line and making our request known, God, because we know we can't take it nowhere else. God, we thank you. And we don't fight like people, God, but you have taught our hands how to do it, Lord Jesus. You taught our hands how to war, Lord Jesus. So, God, we don't show up to the fight like somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, God, but we show up knowing that our prayers are effective. We show up this morning that we intercede on behalf of other people who may not know how to pray, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you because we call the meeting between the heavenly place and the earthly realm, God, and we intercede on behalf of others, Lord Jesus, knowing that you can do it, Lord God. We bless you. God, we give you all the glory this morning because you have been so real and so good to us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and that even as we go forth on our day, Lord God, we bless you for all that will happen, all that's going to happen. And we glory in the fact, Lord Jesus, that all things work together for good. So whatever happens today, we realize that it's employed on our behalf, God, and we thank you that you've given us a strength of character, Lord Jesus, and that you have done some things in us, Lord Jesus, God, that when people see it, they realize that it has to be God. Lord, we bless your name. God, we give you the glory, Lord Jesus, and even as we put our agenda before you, Lord God, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you bless all that have come before me, Lord God, the bishop for the word on faith this morning, God, those who have given the scripture, and God, for our hostess, Barbara, God, bless them right now in the name of Jesus. God, and I thank you that what they've given us on today, Lord Jesus, the time that they've spent today, that it'll be given back to them in good measure and pressed down and shaken together, God, and running over, God. We bless you right now as I pass the call.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for another day. Thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God. Another opportunity, Lord God, to reverence you, Lord God, to honor you, Lord God, to praise you, Lord God, to cry out to you, Lord God. Thank you, hallelujah. Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for that message of hope this morning on faith, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. And how it is that you, Lord God, that could heal and dry up all of our issues, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for my personal issues, Lord God. I thought, Lord God, that I had a crack cocaine problem, Lord God. I thank you for healing me, Lord God, and delivering me. Come to find out, Lord God, that I had a bag of issues. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. And that it is you, Lord God, that I could surrender and turn all of those issues over to you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. That issue of fear, Lord God, oh, hallelujah, that issue of less than, Lord God, that issue of self-centeredness, Lord God, hallelujah, that issue of a thief, Lord God, that issue of a liar, Lord God, that issue, oh, hallelujah, thank you for that message, Lord God, that we are able to turn all of our issues over to you, Lord God. And be set free, Lord God. Be healed, Lord God. Be delivered, Lord God. For that, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God. Father God, I stand in agreement, Lord God, this morning with all of the prayer requests, Lord God. Hallelujah. All of the praise report, Lord. Hallelujah. We say thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I stand in agreement, Lord God, with those silent prayers, Lord God, that were not mentioned. You know of them, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your love this morning, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for victory, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for the power of prayer, Lord God. This prayer call, Lord God, declare victory, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that it serves the purpose. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. That we shall receive, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. We need you, Lord God. We just want to honor you. We honor you, Lord God. with our bodies, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. We honor you, Lord God, in our conversations, Lord God. We honor you, Lord God, in our behavior, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we hallelujah. Yes, marriages, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for my spouse, Lord God. Can I be a little selfish this morning, Lord God? I raised my wife up to you this morning, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for healing in her body, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for healing in my body, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for healing us, Lord God, bringing us together as one, Lord God, seeking to do your will. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for the doctor's report, Lord God, and the medical procedures, Lord God, that aids us, Lord God. But, Lord God, we know that it is you, Lord God, that we put our trust and our faith in, Lord God. So, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that we, Lord God, do the work that is required, Lord God, to live a healthy and prosperous life, Lord God. So, Lord God, I pray and I ask, Lord God, that you cover my wife, Lord God. Cover her, Lord God, with the blood of Jesus, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Heal her body, Lord God, through and through, Lord God. Whether medication, Lord God, be a part of the process, Lord God, whether it just be by your spirit, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, I say thank you, Lord God, for the faith, Lord God, and the trust, Lord God, that we have in you, Lord God, and the process, Lord God, that you have before us, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for every marriage this morning, Lord God, connected to this prayer line and abroad, Lord God. I lift them up to you this morning, Lord God. I pray your covering over them, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for covering our children, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for covering our workplaces, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for covering our unsaved loved ones, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. Bless those, Lord God, that talks about us, Lord God, that look down upon us, Lord God. I lift them up to you as well, Lord God. Search our hearts, Lord God. Search our hearts, Lord God. And if there be anything, Lord God, that does not represent you, Lord God, I pray for its removal, Lord God. These things, Lord God, these words, Lord God, these prayers, Lord God, I pray in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as I pass the call.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come thanking you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Thank you for waking us up this morning, oh God. Thank you for the breath of life. We don't take it lightly, oh God, that we woke up this morning. We know that it was you. Thank you for letting no hurt, harm, or danger come in nigh to us as we slept last night. And that we say thank you. Father God, I ask, oh God, that you forgive us for our sins, that we are aware and that we are not. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, oh God, for all that spoke before me. Thank you for that wonderful declaration, the anatomy of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we thank you for your word on today. Hide your word in our hearts, O God, so that we may not sin against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I come, O God, standing in agreement with those that pray before me, those that are on the prayer list, O God. You know each and every one. I pray, oh God, that those prayers be answered in the mighty name of Jesus. I come standing in the gap for those that are in the military. I pray a special prayer, oh God, for those that are going to the Middle East. I pray for Isaiah and his regimen that are going, oh God, that are going to be close by. I pray, oh God, the hedge of protection around them in the name of Jesus. That's Isaiah Ramirez, Tamara Hope, Odell Martel Oliver, Devin Cook Oliver, Emerson Lockett, Janae Striplin, Angelica Renee Ramos, Zachariah Stewart, Tristan Hutchinson, Jarvis Jeffries, Joshua Cheney, Jalen Jones, Demaria Jackson, Joshua Jones, Emmanuel Jackson, and Marcus Lewis. I pray, oh God, that you keep your loving arms around them, oh God. Give them strength when they need strength. Give them hope when they need hope, when it's looking destitute, or when they don't know what to do, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you give them what they need, oh God. I thank you for their sacrifice for this United States of America. And I pray that they come home stronger than they left. I pray that their character has been built. Their minds and their bodies have been built in a way that only you can, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for their families that are worried about them, oh God. I pray that you give them peace in the name of Jesus, a peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray for pastors and bishops, oh God. I pray for Bishop Bob Jackson, Pastor Kevin Hope, Pastor Ricky L. Nutt, and Pastor Ricky J. Nutt. I pray for Pastor Claybrook, Evangelist Lisa Porter, Pastor Benson, Lady Tammy Benson, Dr. Lembrick, Pastor George Brown, Pastor Mary Stutz, Pastor Gary Montana, Pastor David Fassel, Pastor William Coleman, Pastor Perry and Tammy Moulton, Pastor Bessie Sims, Pastor Ricky Williams, Pastor Lori Farr, Pastor Patrick Foster, Pastor Kevin James, Pastor Ken Foreman, Pastor Kurt Foreman, Dr. David and Kathy Kamastrasi, Pastor Stan Martin, Overseer Jeremiah Martin, Kevin B. Hall, Pastor Kevin B. Hall, Pastor Isaac Neal, Pastor William Coleman, Pastor Don T. Jones, Pastor Johan Hunter Sr., Pastor Tamara Bennett, Pastor C.L. Willis, Bishop Lauren E. Mann, Pastor Kirkland Smith, Pastor E.F. Brown, Apostle D. Christmas, Bishop J.W. Macklin, Pastor Steve Thorner, Pastor Renee Winston, Bishop O.J. Williams, Pastor Joe Nobles, Pastor Archie Levias Jr. and Sr., Pastor Claudio Huey, Pastor James Bryant, Pastor Ellington Porter, Pastor Kevin James, Pastor Lavelle Jones, Bishop Reams, Pastor Brandon and Maria Reams, Dr. Freddie and Dorothea Parham, Pastor Oscar Dice, Pastor J.R. Coleman, Pastor Johnny Riley, Pastor E.K. Dawson, Pastor Aaron Hutchinson, Pastor Michael E. Hale, Pastor Aurelius Walker, all the pastors of Las Vegas, Dr. Dave Early, Pastor Lester Cannon Sr., Pastor C. Christopher Smith, Pastor Santos Howard, Pastor Glenn Bardo, Pastor James Cambuzu, Pastor Greg Dozman, Pastor Carlton Leonard, Bishop Charles E. Blake, Pastor Patrick Weaver, Pastor David Byrd, Pastor Leonard Duce Sr., Pastor James Broughton, Pastor Horatio S. Jones, Pastor Timothy Dupree, Pastor Brian Holloway, Pastor Frank Ice, Pastor Audra Williams, Pastor Kevin McCullough, Pastor David Jackson, Bishop Sean Teal, Pastor O'Neill Young, Pastor Curtis Robinson, Pastor Shelley Wilson, Pastor Victor S. Bryce, Pastor Gort, and Pastor Van Hook. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come bringing these pastors to you, O God. I pray that you bring forth laborers into their vineyard. I thank you for their sacrifice, O God. I pray, O God, that you continue to use them for your glory and let your light shine so that others may know when they speak that it is coming as a message from you, O God. I thank you, God, for all that they do in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, O God, that their ministries continue to flourish, O God. I pray, O God, that souls be won in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that their visions be brought forth in the name of Jesus. And I pray, O God, that you get the glory out of everything that they do. I thank you, O God, for the opportunity to praise your holy name. I thank you for those that are coming after me, O God, in prayer. And I thank you for the corporate prayer that will go forth in your honor, O God. We thank you, we love you, we honor you, we praise your holy name. We thank you for saving our souls, O God. Where would we be, O God, without you? And we know, O God, that we can call on you and we can call on no one else. I thank you for my family, O God. My Asheville Gospel family, my Declare Victory family. I pray for every household represented, O God. I pray for the visionary of this line and her family, O God. I pray that they need and not want of anything in the name of Jesus. I pray that your love and your power of the Holy Ghost rest, rule, and abide in each and every household, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, and I pray, O God, that we continue to seek your face. In the mighty name of Jesus, as I pass the call, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we get ready to take our phones off from you and collectively worship you, God, for your goodness and your mercy towards us, God, I lead the charge in just saying thank you. God, you've been so good. You're so merciful. You're so kind, God. And together we adore your name on today. We bless you for the praises that went up, God. We bless you for the prayers that went up, God. And we just thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for grace. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for favor, God. We thank you for faith, God. We thank you. Hallelujah, for your word, God, that you sent to keep us strong, God. We bless your name on today for your goodness, God, and your mercy towards us. Hallelujah, God. We thank you. Hallelujah, in the midst of hard times and tribulations, God, turbulence, hallelujah, and rain, we say thank you, hallelujah, for your goodness, hallelujah, and your mercy towards us, God, we say thank you, hallelujah, we realize things can be worse than they are, God, we bless your name on today, hallelujah, because you're so good, hallelujah, bless your name, Jesus, hallelujah, you bless your name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you. The trials come to make us stronger. God, we bless you that we're growing in faith. Hallelujah. We thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. For healing our issues, God. Delivering us from diseases. We thank you. Hallelujah. For testimonies, God. We thank you. Hallelujah. For triumph. Hallelujah. We
thank you for the victories you won on our behalf. God, we bless you. Hallelujah. We bless you. Hallelujah. We bless you. We bless you in advance. Hallelujah. For the thing that seems impossible. We bless you. Hallelujah. For favor. Hallelujah. For the king's heart that's in your hands. God, we bless you. Hallelujah. For decisions that are outside of our control. Hallelujah. We bless you for blessings that seem outside of the realm of possibility. We bless you. Hallelujah. We bless you because your grace is everlasting. Your mercy is everlasting. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. We bless you. Hallelujah. We bless you. Hallelujah. Simply because your word won't return void. We bless you because you're faithful to your word. We bless you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah. When the world says we should curse you,
hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
For the victory, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For the real, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For the mind, Lord God. Hallelujah. To cry out to you, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Yes.
Hallelujah. We bless you because your word is true. We bless you because you're good.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. For the victory, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. For the praise, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank
you,
Lord God. Hallelujah. For the praise that lives down on the inside of us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For your joy, Lord God. Hallelujah. That lives down on the inside of us, Lord God.
Hallelujah. For your blood that still works. Hallelujah.
Lord God. Hallelujah. Your peace, Lord God, that lives down on the inside of us, Lord God.
Thank
you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
You're high and lifted up. You're worthy to be praised. We bless you.
Thank you, Lord God.
We bless you for what you're doing on our behalf. Hallelujah. We bless you for what you're doing on the inside. We bless you, God.
Hallelujah.
We bless you, God.
Yes. Victory, Lord God, in our praise. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Victory in our praise, Lord God. Thank you.
For the spirit of heaven, we bless you, Jesus. We bless you.
Hallelujah.
God, we bless you.
Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We thank you that our ways are not our ways and that your thoughts are not our thoughts. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. For every unconventional blessing, we thank you. Hallelujah, how you bless us, God, in ways that we never even imagined. We thank you for how you're stretching us, God, beyond what we thought was our capacity. Hallelujah, how you're growing us up emotionally, God. We thank you for spiritual maturity on today. God, we bless you for every open door, every window, God, every crack. God,
yes,
I bless you.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Yes,
you bless us, God, in
yes.
so many ways. God, I thank you. Hallelujah
yes,
for the blessings that will even come
keeping
through the
us,
bed.
Lord God.
God, I thank you. Hallelujah. God,
for
we bless
us,
you.
Lord
we recognize,
God.
God, that when praises go
Jesus.
Up, blessings
yes.
come down. So we simply bless you on this Monday
Jesus,
morning,
God.
God.
Lord, God.
Thank you for your
yes,
spirit
Lord.
That continues to reign. God, we bless you.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, recognizing that you are the only true
Hallelujah.
And living God. Hallelujah, you are Alpha and Omega. You are the King above all kings. Hallelujah, you are the Lord above all lords. Hallelujah.
We sing.
Hallelujah, you always have been and you always will be. God, we thank you for your sovereignty on today.
Thank you.
Ah, God, I bless your name for your spirit. Hallelujah, for your anointing. God, I thank you. Thank you, God, that you didn't leave us lonely. You sent a comforter. And God, I thank you for your spirit that dwells down on the inside of us. God, I thank you that you keep us on today. God, I thank you for your protection, your angels, God, goodness and mercy that following us, God, even as we walk throughout our house. I thank you for keeping us encouraged. God, I thank you for allowing us to meet here. God, we didn't lose a victor over the week. God, we met right back here. Thank God. God, I thank you.
Thank you.
So, God, as we get ready to transition this call, we do so with complete confidence that you hear us when we pray and that our prayers have been sealed with praise that's pleasing unto you. So, God, we have nothing left to do but to say thank you. God, these blessings and all others we pray in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. And I pass the call.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Well, hello and welcome again to Declared Victory. My name is Barbara, and I've been your host for today. I hope that something has been said that blessed you this morning, because it definitely blessed me. I want to thank the missus for the scripture and prayer warriors, Ravonda and Jeff and Pretty Patrice and Sabrina. But Bishop, that was off the hook. I thank you for your message this morning. Now, Bishop, I want to ask you, can you repeat just the 6 points for us? I was so busy taking notes on what you said, I didn't get all of the points. Do you mind doing that for us this morning as I pass the call to you?
No problem. Yes. Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. The first one is faith is stimulated by being in an environment that encourages us to hear God, an environment of miracles. And that's coming from verse 27. And the second principle was faith talks to itself. We must develop a faith vocabulary. And number three, faith gives us mental pictures because we can't do what we can't see. And number four, making the distinction between sight and vision. She saw the point of contact that she had to make, but she saw herself whole. And number five, number four, you might want to add to that, that faith puts technicolor photographs in the heart of the believer. Here we go. Yeah. Because every time, you know, you got a before and after photograph, you can look at when the devil start talking to you. And your destiny is in technicolor. Glory to God. 3D. High D, not 3D. 3 days are gone. HD, yes. And then number five, what you get victory over is determined by the clarity of what you see. And I didn't mention, but when you see it, the word behold encompasses that, because the Bible says behold. That means hold on to the picture of what you see and make sure that you give it, you know, select, you know, attention. And then the last one is when faith is pure, results are immediate.
And is faith the same as consecration? Because you said when consecration is pure.
Right, right. Yeah, consecrated faith, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Consecrated faith, yeah. But I mentioned something, it might be a bit long, but it bears repeating the quality. And I can get this to Minister Pamela, she can get a copy of this. I don't mind my poetry getting circulated among the people. But
thank
this thought here,
you so much. Much needed. Much needed. I appreciate you this morning.
The quality and degree of your surrender determines the depth and the pace of your change. That's a word.
Amen.
It determines the depth?
The quality and degree of your surrender determines the depth and the pace of your change. So some of us, you know, if it's deep enough, you can say no right away. And you ain't moving, you know, and it's over for real.
Thank you. So I pass the call to you, Bishop.
Well, praise the Lord. If there are any questions or anyone that I'll be honored to receive any questions or any greater insights or further development that you may have had on a particular point. If the Lord has spoken to someone, because, you know, the word of God, you know, is the thing, the miracle about the word is when we hear the word of God shared by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it stimulates our own gifting, you know, by the laying on of hands, that you may stir up the gift that's inside of others. And this is hopefully what has happened this morning, that the Lord has showed you some things about yourselves that causes you to move quickly into that area of greatness for him. So is there one with a question this morning? Comment? Well, another point that I didn't mention was very, you know, the thing about
Bishop,
this.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Bishop, do you mind? Can I really quick? I'm in a really noisy gym. This is Tanya. I just wanted to say that God set it up so that you could speak to my circumstances. Given all of the things that I experienced last week, and I'm just excited. Your word resonated with me. You couldn't hear me, but I kept hollering, "Praise Jesus! Oh, Jesus!" You couldn't hear any of that because I was on mute, and I'm going to go right back on mute, but I wanted to confirm that your word, I don't know about anybody else, but it was steak and potatoes with gravy on it for me today. Thank you so much. God bless.
Well, praise God, woman of God. We thank God for the confirmation. Amen.
Yes, Bishop. Also, this is Dion. Good morning, man of God.
Praise
I
the Lord, woman.
Even move. I had to sit in one spot and I wanted to text you and tell you, honey, just keep going. Don't stop, please, sir. Just keep on teaching. You said something, and Tanya and I were profusely texting back and forth because it was such a rich word. I want to say this openly, and you don't have to answer me on the call, but do you mind teaching regularly, please?
Please. Amen.
I mean, whoever makes that decision, I mean, I'll make myself available on whatever schedule you assign me to. This is what I live for. You know, this
Amen.
Is what I do. And this is,
Amen.
You know, this him. Yeah, I mean, I would be honored to be a part of what you do. You know, I mean, this is a season in my life where I've said to God, I've been preached all over the world, so I'm not trying to get a preaching engagement, but I'm not hungry just to preach, but I am hungry for what I think is a divine assignment in alignment with his will.
Amen.
Amen.
So you know, I make the decisions to define.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Well, just let me know how you want to do that, and we can make that happen.
Absolutely. I thank
Amen.
God. You said something, Bishop, and you were talking about the laws, and I'm sure it was just and just how definite she was in knowing that if, because she did not just have sight, but she had vision, she was able to see her healing from afar, and
mm-hmm.
that because of the laws, the reciprocal laws of the word of God and kingdom living, deliver
mm-hmm.
the results that are requested. Can you expound on that for the people of God? You talked about some reaching it sooner and some having a delayed reaction to the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Please, sir, go deeper.
Amen. Well, yeah, that's a great revelation because, you know, I've often, you know, ask God, you know, I mean, I'm tired of going in the hospitals and walking out and have to wait for a report because I know if Jesus, every time I pray for somebody, I say in my spirit, if Jesus was here, it would be done. That's what I say in my spirit every time. See, because, and there are reasons why it's not done, being done according to your faith and in the fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And we don't want to become judgmental on this matter because God, yes, God, thank you, because he still reserves sovereignty. And John the Baptist never got out of prison. His head did get cut off, and Jesus said there's none risen greater than him. So we have to be careful not to use this as a barometer to measure somebody's level of anointing in the Holy Ghost and all of that. We can't go there because God is sovereign and we don't know the mysteries of all of his will. Okay. But we are called of God to still go deeper, and what you get the victory over is determined by the clarity of what you see. See, the bigger the giant, the greater the reward. You see, in terms of us moving in the way that we need to move to get the victory, and the quality of the surrender determines the depth and the pace of the change. If we, you know, see, when the anointing oil, my God, and I need to teach on this one day, just the whole idea of the anointing oil, but you see, they anointed the priests with 5 quarts. Now, we respect people's tie and their hairdo, and we just dab them because we don't want to put no oil on their clothes. you see. But this is why the priest had to wear a linen ephod, so linen would not suck up the oil. It could flow. And this is what Aaron was talking about as the beard, as the oil ran down his beard, all down his garment, you see, because it was representing the transferring power of the anointing. But the thing about that is that they anointed with 5 quarts so the priests could be saturated. And when he would walk, he would drip oil. Now watch this. This is why, you know, I have a business where I manufacture anointing oil, because I went to Africa and India and I was able to get one of the ingredients you couldn't get in the United States, because I wanted to smell what God had in mind when he gave the recipe. Okay, and I use that same recipe in Uganda in a witch's coven, and they were screaming and vomiting, and the oil was burning their skin and everything just because of who they were in the demonic realm. So God, I knew that God had something up his divine sleeve, because he don't wear short sleeve shirts. You see, there's always something going on, you know, but anything he does. But the thing is that the principle of saturation is the same concept of the depth, the quality and degree of your surrender determines the depth and the pace of your change, because yes, Holy Ghost, we could say it like this. One of the reasons why we don't feel a total release and a total freedom from the disturbance of the old man is because the new man hasn't been saturated to the degree that the old man was. We've been full-time devils and try to be part-time Christians. It will never reach the core. You know, I don't want to go in another vein, but this is one of the veins that would cause us to hear. You know, some of us have never wept. The only time we've truly wept when some man broke our heart or some woman, you know, did what she did to us. But that same level of depth of brokenness and weeping has to be with our relationship with God. So there's still a place inside of us that pain has carved that hasn't been saturated yet. And this is why our depth, you know, I went to the prison one time and traveled an hour and a half to preach for 15 minutes, and the brothers were so impressed. And they said, man, you drove all that while I'm in for 15 minutes. I said, brother, what you don't understand is that I've traveled further for less honorable things. That's what motivates me. Every time I know what I used to give the devil. And I can't shortchange God. Yes, yeah, so that's an internal barometer, the internal a guide, that compass, yes, that leads and guides me. So the saturation, I watched this one, the saturation with the oil, when the priest was anointed with the five quarts, when he walked, you could follow the drippings in the sand because of his saturation. But after the dripping, this is why the Lord wanted it to be a fragrant oil and not just the crushing of the olive oil, because the crushing of the olive oil just symbols that the olive had to die, and that's the sacrificial aspect of the anointing, where you must sacrifice certain things to get it in its fullness. But it's not just about saturation. It's about having influence. And the reason why it had to be perfume and fragrance and herbs inside the oil, because once the dripping stopped, in the natural, you didn't see spots in the sand anymore. You could follow the aroma. Glory to God. And this is why when you walk into a room, somebody say, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Yeah, Paul says we are sweet-smelling savors. And everybody has a spirit that is designed to infuse nostrils. And when Jesus stood up to read the scriptures in the temple, he wasn't trying to cast out demons. But what he carried, when the fragrance introduced itself into a demonic atmosphere, there was a reaction, and the demons cried out, you come too soon. Why you come to destroy us before the time? Yeah, Peter, the disciples, the apostles weren't trying to cast out demons when they were walking through Acts 14, 16 chapter, and that woman that was bewitching the people and operated a spirit of sorcery over a whole terrain that was her territory, disciples, all the Bible said was they were on their way to prayer. That's all they was doing, trying to get to a place to pray. But when they walked into that area, the spirit, the fragrance that they carried began to dominate the terrain, and it smoked out the woman. So since she was used of misusing affirmations, oh, miss that, Reverend, ah, my God, misusing affirmations by saying these men are servants of the Most High God that show us the way of salvation. Now, this is a revelation. We need to open this up one time by itself in the lesson. You see, then watch this. When she came behind the apostles saying these men are servants of the Most High God, you can't find anything wrong with the words that she said, because everything she said was correct. These men are servants of the Most High God that show us the way of salvation. Everything she said was right. But the Bible says she said it for days, and then the Bible says Paul's spirit got vexed. And see, there's a, praise the Lord, God ain't in it. There's a tongue, God is not in it. There's a hallelujah, God is not in it. But you have to have a level of discernment to know that it ain't God. Now, you can't judge, because this is why the Bible said that they let her walk behind them for a few days. Then they exposed it. But they had to make sure they was reading it right, because her testimony was correct. So we're in a day nowadays when charismatic witchcraft is loose in the church. People talking in, and when I first got involved with deliverance ministry, I didn't know that people could be demons and witches in the name of Jesus.
Bishop.
That thing is loose, and we got to have such a piercing, fragrant discerning that you smell who that is. That's what the anointing is all about. That's why it's aromatic fragrance inside the anointing. Glory to God. So the idea of saturation.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Bishop. I remember one afternoon at church, and it was a young lady. I had to pray for her, and she was actually the pastor's niece. And I sensed something was going on, but what was really funny, when you're talking about the fragrance, now they have this, I'll wrap it up. They had this weed called skunk, whatever, that at the time. And it was really funny because I thought maybe somebody had walked in the church and they had been smoking weed. And so I was just, I wasn't tripping, here or there, thank God, they at church. And the Lord really impressed upon me to pray for her. Before I knew it, we were down on the ground. And I almost got sick to my stomach with the smell, the smell that I smelled. And she hadn't been smoking, but that was what it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it. And it was from time to time that would happen to me, that I would smell this smell. Now, we're talking about 10 years ago, we wasn't smelling like that then. And even now that I smell it, now when I smell it, it reminds me of a time when I did that, and I would just, you just kind of pass it off, because I never really heard anybody really teach about it. The fragrance of even a demonic presence,
Right.
But it's funny that you said that, because I would go into church and I would smell this smell and always be beckoned to pray. But this one young lady, when I tell you that I had to, it was about, I was down on the floor with her, and I had somebody just read scripture, that's it. While I'm praying, read scripture, I would tell them where to go. And it hadn't happened a whole lot of times, but just a couple of times, and I would always smell this smell. It smelled like a skunk.
It's happening all the time. But you see, we're not in the realm.
Right.
We identify it. You see, God says that the behavior of the people come up to heaven as a
stench in his nostrils. Behavior comes to God as a stench in his nostrils. Now, the word in the Greek language for your conversation is in heaven, the word for conversation in the Greek language is lifestyle, not your words. It's not like God hears what you say. But it's more profound because it's the foundation of the proverb that we've often heard that says, what you do speaks so loud until I can't hear what you say. What you say. So when Scripture says your conversation is in heaven, that means your behavior, hey God, is ascending up into heaven in paragraph sentence structure. And God sees your lifestyle coming before him in a confession. I don't believe Jesus.
Well, teach
because
God.
The way we live is translated that way, because the way we live sometimes, we really can't believe. We cannot believe. And don't be alarmed at that. You know, that's what Peter was all about. That's why the Lord had to tell Peter, yeah, Peter, I know that you're with me, and I know you're ready to die with me. When you get converted, strengthen your brother. What? Yeah, I mean, you with me, and you leading out in the church, but you're not where you're supposed to be. And I'm here to help you find yourself by associating with me. So we need to talk about, woman of God, you know, the different revelation, you know, that. Now, let me just say one thing on this thing here. I've had a lot of experience with deliverance ministry. I know the boundaries. You know, I'm not talking about people getting so spooked up and spaced out with deliverance ministry until they start introducing concepts that are not biblical. You know what I mean? Because deliverance ministry has to be understood from how Jesus did deliverance. Because there's a lot of stuff out there, you know.
Amen.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Based on what you're talking about, this is Dee Dee. You said, and I was trying to catch it. You said it's not a spirit of lust. That's a spirit of rejection. Can you go back to that piece right there?
Yeah, one of the brothers prayed it when he thought he had a crack cocaine problem. That wasn't the issue. That was just a symptom. See, we're busy treating symptoms. This is why the Bible says the axe is laid root of the tree. And what it is that you know there are manifestations, but Satan likes to make us think that that's him. That's not him. No, it's a deeper issue. You see. So with the young girl that came in the church, and she had on a short skirt and her fishnets and all that, and she was looking like she was working the street, but she wasn't. In fact, she wasn't even sexually active. But everybody thought so because she was so provocative. But then when we begin to talk to her, we begin to find out that she had been molested and that she had this is why, you know, in deliverance, you got to get some sort of background. Jesus asked the question, well, how long has your son been this way? He kept falling in the fire. How long has he been that way? So that's the foundation for questionnaires for people to face their histories. When Jesus told the young man that had the withered hand, he had all behind his back, Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. You got to look at it. You got to look at it. I'm not healing it. You need to see how crooked it is and live with your crookedness, then I can get it. You see? So we're hiding it behind our back. But the whole idea is that, and this is why we have to have people that are functioning with a true spirit of discernment, because God will show you that it's not lust, it's another spirit, a spirit of rejection or a spirit of self-hate. You know, there are a lot of wonderful Christian women who have wonderful husbands and great men, but they don't believe he really loves her because of a certain self-hate that was transferred somewhere. Maybe a previous situation where the brother was abusive and made her think that nobody would ever want her, and that whole thing went on, or could be back to a situation where the mother chose another man of her above her, or dad, you know, ended the relationship, and kids feel that I wasn't important enough for my parents to stay together. So what's wrong with me? I couldn't keep my parents together. You see, so these spirits dwell with people, and enter into their future relationships. And we're suspect when we should be surrendering and then submission, you know, and then we surrender when we should be suspect.
So Bishop, good morning. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm trying to get so much out of this because I've taken spiritual warfare classes, and you just blessed me because when you said that, you got people trying to cast out spirits of lust or whatever, and it's not even that. So you said, I'm going to have to go back and listen to that whole little piece that you said because it was so rich. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I got so much out of this morning. Thank you. And
whenever you have me come again, we'll take our time and properly, you know, set that order so we can see the continuity of the scriptural revelation on that.
So necessary so people will stop casting stuff out of folks. Amen. Love you. Have a wonderful day.
Some folk need an apology and a hug and the demon will go. An apology and a hug, and a demon will leave.
Good morning, Bishop. This is Misty.
And a preach, Bishop.
Yeah,
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to cut you off in the middle of your...
Yes, honey. Go ahead and ask the question, huh?
Oh, okay. I wanted to try to cut him off in the middle. I thought he had something else to say to somebody else.
Wait, we can't hear you, Miss.
So it's gonna be a little difficult. Okay. Cancel.
There you go. Go ahead, Miss D.
You guys said I'm probably having trouble here. I'm in a noisy background. I thank God for your words this morning. Went back over about 3 or 4 years of my life. just to be acknowledged, to be seen. You talked about that issue, the issue being the thing on the surface and the underlying stuff that God has been showing me this past week. He spoke into my life this morning. I thank God for that. I just want to check in.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there another?
Yeah, Bishop, if you can, one of the things I probably was about, Chan, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think I may have been about 27, 28 years old. That was just a little while ago. Ain't that a lying spirit this morning, listening to the anointed man of God? Nevertheless, I smell. And so there are not many people that I know. My mother does, too. But it created a major struggle because I used to think that it was really a body fragrance until the Lord started to identify specific smells. And I could probably still use some training. Some of them I know very specifically, like molestation. It smells like a child's bathroom, in a school. It smells like a school children's bathroom. It's very, very specific. And the spirit of lust. But rejection smells like dirt. Literally. It smells like if somebody's been digging, it smells like when dry clay has been broken. And so one of the things that I still struggle with, there are people, sometimes I'll hug them, and I have to, well, now I'm a little bit better, but I have to identify exactly how to pray. I don't know if anybody else on the call has the sense of smell, and sometimes the smell is so great I can taste it, and it makes me almost want to vomit, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, now this is the area. This is where I say you have to make sure that you have some balance in this, because you see, we can't say, and we don't have a scriptural foundation for a demonic presence having a standard smell that always it's clay, because the smell is mixed with the issues of the person. You see,
It's
mixed with the issue, and demons assimilate themselves. You see, so the thing is that, you know, because I had a deliverance I was doing once, and this, it was a serious situation where brother was confessing the affairs he had on his wife,
and the Holy Ghost has had them talking. They had the demon under surrender, and he confessed 16 affairs, and he fell off the, and the wife fell off the bed in shock, like she was going into cardiac. So I said to him, I started praying for her, and he was a preacher. And I said, well, you know, you should be able to pray for your wife, but you can't touch her right now. So I went on to pray for her. And she got back up, and she said, okay, I'm ready. I said, now, man of God, the Lord done told me that the one that's going to hurt her the most, you haven't told her yet. And he went to talk, and that demon put a gag on his throat, and he could not speak. Now, but what was happening, and this is what was happening physiologically and in the demonic realm, he had been welcoming demonic spirits in himself for so long, and he had been such a liar that as soon as that demon's household began to realize he was getting ready to tell the truth,
right?
That he ain't never did that. There was a physiological reaction, and he started to vomit, and he ran to the bathroom. I said, come back. There's nothing coming up. So I began to rebuke him, and the spirits come out, and his eyes turned white. The pupil was gone. All we could see was the white of his eye that was blood red.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife says, what's that? Look, I said, look at him right now. Look at that spirit. I said, this is what's been driving your husband. This is not your husband. That's not
right.
My husband. And the whole room began to smell like unclean sex.
Right. Yeah.
She said, the wife said, what is that smell? What is that smell? I said, it's the smell of adultery.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Now we can become so discerning in the Holy Spirit, but this is why we got to be careful, because you can't get into this level of discernment and still have mess inside of you. Because the devil will mix it and it will become witchcraft.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
It'll become a form of witchcraft. So this is why we see that God is sovereign. He'll do anything to reveal a situation, but we can't lock him down. So that's how he'll always operate. Because
mm-hmm.
he'll change uh-huh. up a thing in a minute. You see, he'll change uh-huh. a thing up in a minute. So yes, in the realm of spiritual discernment, odors can be identified, you know, and spirits carry odors. The idea of sulfur has been a big one inside of some deliverance situations. But see, whether you can identify, you might not always be able to identify or put a name on the spirit. Someone traveling or something? Okay.
They're on the bar.
Okay. All right. You might not always be able to identify the odor that you're smelling in terms of giving it a category or identity that we know about, like sulfur or clay or anything like that, but you'll know that it's wicked.
That's good. Thank you.
You'll know that it's wicked, and that's all you need to know.
Okay.
You see, and you address that spirit, you see, because we can't get locked down, because the devil, you know, transfers himself into an angel of light. And what we got to understand is that Lucifer, who's the anointed cherub, knows everything about the anointing. If anybody knows a true Christian, the devil does. And Satan, and this is another teaching we need to teach on, Satan's character is angelic demonic. Satan's true character is the blend of he's the father of the androgynous world, because he's the first creature in the universe to have two spirits living in him at one time, because the Bible says iniquity was found in him. So Lucifer is the father of androgyny, and he knows how to have an angelic demonic spirit. In high levels of witchcraft, ain't nobody walking around looking like witches. They fine, rich, pretty, fragrant, powerful, and they're demons. So the fairy tale stuff of people looking like witches and looking like demons. No. Satan is highly sophisticated. Lucifer, the anointed cherub, and everything that he has tried to manufacture
as a facsimile to create a backdoor entrance into divine things through stones do have energy. You know, we can't argue that the crystal doesn't generate a physical energy, but not the energy of the Holy Ghost. It's trying to divine through nature to get a backdoor entrance to get people to try to conjure up the presence that was lost. Hey, my. So this is why most witchcraft is dealt with some form of nature. The stones. I mean, you see, watch this here, Revelation. God, when the Lord told Adam that he would die by eating of the tree, he would surely die. That it took that promise almost 1,000 years before it came to pass. Because he lived to be about 1,000. Watch this. But because so much divinity was in him, it took that long for death to finally bear fruit. It was a slow, insidious death, but because of the greatness of the creation of God, it took 1,000 years for that promise to bear fruit that he would surely die. My God. So, you know, deliverance ministry is something that's, and I have a seminar that I teach, deliverance ministry as a foundation to all ministry, no matter what the flavor of the ministry is, or the assignment of the ministry, or the anointing of the ministry. And see, because Jesus was not a demon chaser, but he knew what to do when they showed up. And that's all we're trying to equip the saints with. We're not trying to become demon chasers. Because the Bible doesn't call, it doesn't require that. You know, I've given you power to cast them out because their purpose is to come into a holy environment and to wreak havoc.
Bishop, may I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Can a person have that stench or that odor or the demonic thing on them without knowing it?
Absolutely.
Like if they're searching or seeking God and
absolutely. This is why that charismatic mean spirit called anointing is not of God. Because I know some mean folk that's supposed to have the Holy Ghost. They just downright nasty.
Mm-hmm.
They downright crude. The Bible says the Greek word for anointing is charisma. That's why it's a fragrant thing. The anointing is sweet, even when it's rebuking you. Mm-hmm. Even when it's straightening, Jesus, as controversial as he was, the Bible says he grew in favor with God and man. So the thing about it is that, see, the ministry that the Holy Ghost wants to do in the church right now is not deliverance. That's not the main ministry. That's why I teach deliverance ministry as the foundation to all ministry. The ministry that the Holy Ghost wants to do in the church is not the gifts of the Spirit. This is the last. The emphasis of the last days is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer. Because you got everybody trying to do the work of God without the character of God. That's where the breakdown is, and that's the door that the devil is coming in. The character is the cable that conducts the power. And we're not even impressed with just loving people. We don't even have no power anymore. But everybody want to lay on hands. Everybody want to shanda kandalanda shata. Everybody want to prophesy and can't see nothing coming for them. Miss every revelation about what they need. But got a word for everybody. Creditors looking for them. Bills ain't paid right. Had the money to pay the bill. Just irresponsible and prophesy. No, the devil is a liar. That spirit right there, God is trying to get people saved. He's not, see, because and this is all, I'm not talking about my concepts. When they came back and told Jesus, we went out, and even while the demons are subject to us in your name, he said, rejoice not that the demons are subject, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't get caught up in deliverance to the point where you think you're something great and not saved. And then the last one that really scared me was, watch this. Jesus was talking in Matthew 7, and they said, did not we cast out devils in your name? And did not we do mighty wonderful works in your name? And Jesus said, I will say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Now, these were people that were involved in great ministry, great deliverance ministries, with a degree of success and evidence was in God. The Bible said in the last days, Satan will be able to pull fire down from heaven. And this is the question. When Jesus said, for me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. But tell me you didn't know me and I backslid 3 years ago. Tell me that when I did have something. but when you say you never knew me, then if you never knew me, then who was doing the miracles? If it wasn't Jesus. Because great works have been. This is why we can't be running around trying to. This hour is back. Jesus chose to identify his church by their love for another. Because love is healing. Love is healing. And we don't have confidence in it. We don't have confidence in love and marriage and love. Our children, we letting them leave the house unclothed. We don't clothe them with security. Kids are growing up with broken spirits, and they're referred to as arrows in the Bible. How can an arrow fly if it's broken? How can an arrow soar if it's broken? We're trying to do me because we got kids making babies. And I don't mean young 16-year-olds. I'm talking about 30 and 40-year-olds still want to be kids. Party. Splurging. Daddy with the deep dish rims before he pay a tuition. No. This thing has gotten back to the place where the Lord let us, the cup of iniquity get full and people are sick of all this stuff. And you got Oprah Winfrey, Science of Mind, Metaphysics, ministering to people in more effective ways in the body of Christ. And they took all our stuff and stole it and tweaked it. Took Bible stuff and tweaked it to make it palatable for people to eat. And we run around the church screaming and spitting and rolling on the floor. I don't mean the Holy Ghost won't lay you out. He'll lay you out. But when he lays you out, he's talking to you. When he lays you out, he's talking to you, and something's going on inside of you. Because you don't lay out every weekend.
No, what did you say about science of the mind? Could you repeat what you said about science of the mind or other type of?
I'm saying science of the mind, theosophy, metaphysics, and all these different schools of thought, these concepts, because the church has not been, we're so busy preaching sermons. The Bible did not talk about preaching sermons. It talks about the ministry of the word. That's a different thing. It's a poem and somebody hooping and church members getting mad that the preacher don't hoop. Get downright mad. He didn't preach today. He didn't hoop. And a man come in there with keys to successful Christian lifestyle, no appeal to the mindset and the appetite that's been created by enthusiasm and event-type preaching. So when somebody comes with word, substance, and context and content, our appetite hasn't been conditioned for that. We feel like we're missing something. So what I'm saying is that everybody that's left the church didn't leave because they want to go in the world. There are a lot of people who have left some of the mainstream religions, and they're in some other forms of spirituality. They didn't go into the world and become heathens, wanting to sleep around and wanting to get high and all of that. No. They're in other forms of spiritual experiences. I mean, yoga's becoming a pastor for many people.
Are you saying that's wrong necessarily, or is it the left of?
What I'm saying is, you know, when you want to read Timothy, the Bible says bodily exercise profits little.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, you know. No, I'm not saying, but there are some concepts that are associated with different kinds of yoga.
Right.
Yoga is not just an exercise. Yoga is a lifestyle and a mentality and a teaching when you get into real deep yoga. I had a friend who was Elvis Presley's wife's trainer. She's a yoga instructor, you know, and she said, me to Africa and financed me a few trips. You know, I met her when I was traveling with Little Richard, spiritual things. He would have me go on the set as a spiritual advisor when he was, you know, doing those TV shows and stuff like that. And I met her, and she just schooled me on the different forms of yoga. There's different forms of yoga. You know, I mean, there's some concepts that come with yoga that can be challenging to the Christian, to the Word of God, if you don't know how to hear. All I'm saying is that Satan exalts himself, and see, because watch this: when Satan said to Eve, "You shall not surely die," he wasn't trying to talk diabolical. What he was simply saying was, "You read in your Bible, but you got the wrong interpretation." We agree on the word die, but you should not surely die. Let me interpret what that means. You're not interpreting that right. So Satan's whole approach, because he couldn't say that God wasn't alive. He couldn't just attack God. So he had to attack people on the interpretation and the revelation of Scripture. That's what everybody's doing right now, tweaking the word of God, coming up with their own stuff, because the church has not been efficient and successful at ministering the word until it really meets people's needs and we become true conduits and walk by this gospel that we, because we've taught people, if you don't speak in tongues, you ain't even got nothing. We've taught that. You ain't got the Holy Ghost unless you speak in tongues. I know I had the Holy Ghost before I spoke in tongues. I speak in tongues. But there wasn't no cure-all. It wasn't no cure-all. It's the ministry of the Holy Ghost that saves the believer. So we got people looking for an experience and not a relationship.
Yes.
So they remember and frame that one day when they got filled, and they don't grow from there. And whoever don't have it, like I had it, they don't have it. And that's a lie.
Bishop.
This is you got people mimicking the gifts. Take them down the basement. Show them how to speak in tongues. Tell them how to move their mouth and do all kind of stuff. Classes on how to speak in tongues. Ain't no classes in the scripture on how to speak in tongues. They spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. And watch this, Acts 2:31. And I'm not anti anybody, because I've been with everybody. I've been through everybody, you know, all the different denominations. Why I'm a non-denominational man of God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and the Bible. I'm done.
All right.
And learning how to hear from God. It only needs me to talk unless I can hear from God. Now, Acts 2:1, we know that. They were all, you know, in one place, rushing mighty wind and filled the house, and they were cloven tongues of fire appeared upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, right? So some people say that everybody that's born again has to have that. Well, Acts 4:31. And then what happens is people make a distinction theologically between the word filling of the Spirit or the Spirit came upon them and all of that. Different semantics. That's really preachers who are not learned in linguistics that take these liberties and they don't, it's just a matter of being properly educated. Okay. With some schooling. That's what that is all about. Okay. Because the word filling in the Greek is being continually filled, not filled one time. Continually filled. Now, Acts 4:31 says this: they were assembled together in one place, and the house was shaken. Same language as Acts 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And watch this: and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So the manifestation of the filling in Acts 4:31 was not a tongue, it was a spirit of boldness. So I'm saying this stuff has caused people that have an assignment in this world to be a conduit of love that will never operate in some of the supernatural gifts that we have in the body of Christ in terms of the ministry gifts or the evangelism gifts or the spiritual gifts, the tongues and healings and intercession. But they are people that have a exhortation ministry of love that will talk to people that are homeless, that the first couple that sent me to Africa looked like they needed a bath when I met them. Dandruff all on their clothes, teeth weren't brushed. I'm not saying that's God, but they were so committed. We have 30 orphanages in Africa, and my husband and I, we just live to give all of our money to Africa, to white people. I said, my God, I know they have their reward. So all I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is we got enough churches that are wealthy, million-dollar mega churches. If every church in Oakland, if every church in L.A., if every church in San Francisco, if every church in Chicago, every mega ministry just gave a tithe, they could solve the homeless problem in every city. Just pay a tithe. But that's not where I go. That's not where my emphasis is. But Jesus said, clothe the naked, feed the hungry. Ministries that are born out of love. So this is what the church has got to get back to. I don't mean that slurpy thing, but people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Mm-hmm. And you be careful. You watch this. We've talked about Catholicism as a house of idols and a house of, you know, all these crazy doctrines about purgatory and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? They're growing. And you know why they're growing? Because they got a pope that's talking a little different than the other pope has talked. But they have money. Any Catholic person that is homeless, if they belong to a parish, they got money. They putting their money up and they buying membership because they know that the people need to feel loved. And they're growing. I'm not saying that we do it for that purpose, but it certainly should be a part of God's plan. And then Jesus was very strategic when he said, they should know you're my disciples by your love one to another. We've left that, and now we got to come back to it because people have found out that all the stuff that we've had and all, I mean, when you got people speaking in tongues and you find out and leading in spiritual gifts and he's had a mistress for 10 years, something's wrong with that. In terms of people believing that that's what they got to have. That's what I'm saying, because we understand flesh that's not controlled by the Holy Ghost is always going to disappoint God no matter what the sin is. But because we've overemphasized stuff and have been weak on the relationship, you know, I'm going to end it with this, but you see, God the Father ordained the plan. Jesus carried it out and said, it is finished. His part is finished in terms of atonement, bringing us back at one, when you break the word down etymologically, atonement, at-one-ment, bringing us back in relationship. God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. So now that Jesus has done his, it's expedient that I go, for if I don't go, the comforter cannot come. So this is why that Romans 8 and that chapter of intercession is so important. Because we are now turned over to the Holy Ghost, and the ministry of the Holy Ghost is the one that has the last charge to get the believer saved. The most important aspect of God, and don't misunderstand me, you got to understand what I'm saying here.
The plan of salvation is already set. And Ephesians talks about the purpose, the purchased possession that the blood atoned for and purchased us. We were bought with a price. But the Holy Spirit's ministry is to make sure that we don't waste the investment, which is the blood. So he's here. You know not what we ought to pray, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. We got to be careful calling ourselves interceding if the Spirit is not interceding through us, because it's the Holy Spirit that's the intercessor. So what he's doing is he's agitating, you know, and making sure that we don't lose the investment of the blood, because the Bible calls the in blood as the earnest of the inheritance, which is a down payment. In the Greek language, means that the down payment on the life of the believer is the blood. So it's a down payment, but the Holy Ghost got to make sure the whole possession and the property be brought home, purchased. So this is why the ministry of the Holy Ghost is so important for the believer, and we got to talk about how crucial it is to make sure that our lives are being led by him and that we hear his voice. Because otherwise, the blood's going to be in vain. And that's the insult to the divine plan. So all I'm saying is that we need relationships. Saints need to be taught how to be in relationship with God. Don't worry about operating as some great one, but to be in relationship with God and allow yourself to be a conduit of God's power, that when you get up in the morning, you put your prayer compass on and say, Father, direct me to somebody today in Jesus' name. And the Lord orders your steps, and you know by the grace of God how to turn normal conversation into evangelism opportunities. And all of your times are in his hands. And the Lord is just using you without even church. Not even church. He's just using you. Meet people. You know, I meet people all the time. I'm always fishing as a man of God, as a bishop. I'm fishing. I bring people to church with me all the time. I ain't waiting for my members to go find nobody. I come with people. Because I'm communicating all the time. I'm always looking for the opportunity to share who I am. I'm not crude or rash or you know, just trying to dominate people and overwhelm people with a Christian perspective. But I will have a conversation about how wonderful it is today. And if that door opens, yeah, I thank God for weather. And then, you know, and so sometimes it says, I'm blessed. I like that term. Blessed. That's about one of my terms. You know, and then we go in, we go in. And if I say blessed and they tighten up on me, I keep my mouth shut. But it's an evangelism lifestyle. Jesus knew everything about that woman at the well, but he did not talk about marriage and divorce. Now, anybody we minister to, if they didn't marry 5 times, they need to know about divorce and marriage. But Jesus didn't deal with that. He talked about water. Because he knew that until you drink from the right fountain, you won't always have broken relationships. That's a good example of dealing with the symptom and the issue. Plus, issue, the symptom was bad relationships. But the issue was she hadn't drank from the right fountain. And her quench. And we got to pray to God that we have the discernment when we're dealing with people, that the Lord would bring us into that level of insight, that when we share a word with somebody, it's a word in due season. And I've talked too much this morning. But praise the Lord.
Oh, thank you so much, Bishop.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop.
Thank you.
Well, I don't mean to stir up. I just mean to stimulate, you know, and to stir up the pure gifts, you know, because God is trying to really bring people of like mind together. So you'll know that it really was God talking to you. That you really did hear the Holy Ghost when God said that to you. But we don't trust the anointing.
Amazing job, and you absolutely did not talk too much. No, sir, you did not.
No, indeed.
Well, as I said earlier, whatever assignment, you know, I don't mind taking assignments, and I'll honor your time and all the boundaries that you have. And I don't mind, you know, even taking assignments. I mean, I'm not trying to dig in my bag and bring out what I think is my hot word. I'm talking about a word for the season and a word for the hour. You know, because the sons of Issachar were men who knew the times and knew what they ought to do and say. So we have to preach to the times, because one of the indictments against the body is we're answering questions that nobody's asking.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with a lot of theological jargon that really doesn't make a difference. And when I was in undergraduate school, one of the principles of preaching was, this is what the professor taught us, and I never forgot it, that when thinking of a sermonic idea, you got to ask yourself three questions. What are you saying? What are you saying about it? And what difference does it make? That's a functional a formula for any of us who approach the Word of God to feel that we have food for the hungry. What am I saying? What am I saying about it? And what difference does it make? So after I say everything that I say, is it really going to make a difference in the reality of a situation? And this is why Jesus, I'm just filled with the Holy Ghost again, and this is just a revelation, this is a concept that I won't expound on, but Jesus never taught a lot of different things. But he said a lot of things about the few things that he taught. Now, when we get that in our system, that's going to be a blessing. Jesus didn't just teach on a bunch of stuff. He taught on a few things, and the few things that he taught on were the things that were germane to our salvation and our development in Christ to grow to the fullness of the stature. So when it came to things like loss, being lost, because we were made to be found, and he came to seek and save the lost, so for lostness, and I have a phrase that the Lord gave me called lostology. There's a class that I teach called lostology, the science of being lost and found. But lostness was so important to Jesus that he approached lostness from three different perspectives at three different dimensions, the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, all in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, all in one chapter. And we think they're three different parables. No, they're three levels of one revelation. Not just these different parables that when we finish one, we think that's done. No, they are connectors to show the three different revelations. And this is the genius and the anointing of anointed teachers, is that they can hit a truth from many angles. Because in Hebrew teaching, the student is smart enough if the teacher is good enough. And because the teacher is led by love, love discovers ways to please. David said, "What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me?" So I'm studying a way to get this in. So Jesus hit that lostness from the lost sheep, because he knows that there are people like the Jews who are waiting on the inheritance, you know, the lost son, rather, like waiting on the inheritance. They got defiant and said, "Give me the portion of good that falleth to me." So there's people that are lost because they're defiant. But then the sheep was lost because it lost its focus and grazed in other people's terrain and lost view, you see, and didn't have a shepherd to lead it like it's supposed to be. But then the lost coin was lost in the house, and it was handled by careless hands because they didn't understand the value that coins were designed to be spent. And they dropped it. Couldn't find it in the house. Woo! because we're not training people to spend themselves. We're not training people that you are a type of currency. As a believer, we are the currency of heaven and designed to be spent to expose people to the riches of God. Oh, my God. The lips of a wise man are as jewels, the Bible says. So when I speak, I'm speaking diamonds. When I speak, I'm clothing people with rubies. When I speak, I'm adorning people with pearls. That's what the believer has in their mouth. The lips of a wise man are as precious jewels. But we got rappers making more sense out of that spitting stuff. Brother, spitting poetry and spitting rhyme and spitting stuff. They understand that concept. And that's another concept. When I preach in the prison, I show the brothers how parable teachings of Jesus is compatible with ebonics and metaphoric language and slang even. And the brothers can tap into a parable because they understand imagery. My God, this word is so powerful. You ever need a class in the church for the young brothers? Don't worry about how his head look, where his pants is hanging off his butt. Don't even fool his pants. Just get him in there. And talk to him about imagery. And they start seeing in pictures and start understanding the profound proverbs. My God, you find them brothers pulling up his pants and you ain't even discuss trousers. You ain't even discuss trousers. Because they see something relatable. Wow, I didn't know this was in this book. That's in the Bible, bro? Show me that. Where that, bro? What's up, dog? Show me where that, dog? I mean, and you roll them in the scriptures and you showing people, answering questions that people are asking. Because they really don't think we got nothing for them. And many churches don't. Because nobody want to be honest. Nobody want to be real about what God delivered them from. So we kind of talk like we ain't never did nothing. or put too much in the testimony, you know, to the point that you attracting people to your old nature and creating temptation for yourself because you talk about the past so much. And sometimes we understand that's not true deliverance either. This thing is deep. I'm telling you it's real.
Bishop, what is your first name?
S-T-E-P-H-E-N.
Thank you.
I believe we have dined sufficiently.
Yes.
Well, praise God, woman of God.
We have been so blessed this morning. I didn't even say good morning again. Because I wanted to get right back into listening to the bishop. So please forgive me. Those that didn't get to say good morning this morning at the end, it's because we have been so blessed this morning. I wanted to get back to bishop. So charge it to my head, not my heart.
Well, we thank God for everybody. And sister, I look for you to advise me on how you want things to go, okay?
Yes, I'll be glad when you come back. Thank the Lord.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
We will have.
We got those issues, Bishop, that we need to be delivered from. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
We're praying. Well, thank God for you. I think you referred to some of that in your prayer, man of God. And I connect with my spirit right away. So his brother understands just what I'm saying. Yes. So we give God praise, man of God.
Amen.
Amen. So we will definitely have
let me say one other thing. What part of terrain are you? Is you in Oakland area?
We are all over, Bishop. There are people from Chicago, from Washington, from everywhere. But I live in the Bay Area.
Yeah, you know, because I've been feeling, you know, a woman prophesied over me 25 years ago, and she told me that she saw me ministering in, she said, go west, young man, go west. And she said, and you're going to walk
when you go by Fisherman's Wharf, that's going to be the beginning of the ministry that God's going to use you mightily.
Mm.
That's what she said to me 30 years ago.
My Lord.
So last time I was in Oakland, which was about a month or two ago, Black History February, I just walked past. Was having some dinner with a few of the sisters that we had worshipped that day together. And I just said, well, let's just walk past Fisherman's Wharf. I'm not, you know, and I'm not looking for anything to jump out and say nothing, but I just wanted to. But I feel, and I've always felt, because I preached in Oakland many years ago, off and on, different times, and I just feel that my anointing is compatible for when I would drive through the city, I know when I'm assigned to a place, I can tell, you know. And I know that the Lord has equipped me for some of that Bay Area. You know, and I'm not talking about anything.
Did y'all hear him say, I'm assigned to something?
Yes. And that's all I want to do, because I've already been hosted in some of the finest hotels, had some crazy $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 honorariums for preaching a sermon. You almost feel guilty for taking it. That kind of money for one or two sermons. You know, I've been in those places, and it's been great, but it's just different levels of anointing. You see, and the Lord has already told me, freely you receive, freely you give. But it's not about any of that, but I'm just saying what the Lord can do with a vessel when you are in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the whole thing right now. Because when you're in alignment with the assignment, then hearing is a confirmation and an affirmation and not a convincing.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're not wrestling with the people. You're just coming to bear witness, and people get encouraged because you bear witness that God was talking to them.
Mm.
So that's different than wrestling with somebody, so anybody want to argue and because he ain't with us, you know. That whole doctrine, Jesus blew that right out the water. They are not against us, is with us. Now, we still ain't trying to figure that out yet. Because they said, Lord, we saw men who cast out devils that didn't follow us. And Jesus said, forbid them not, for they that are not against us are with us. Now that shows a broad vision, because somebody don't never have to be with you in your building, in your denomination, but they're not against what you are about, so you're connected. And churches ain't really, really, denominations really not ready for that. We're trying to build our own kingdoms and not the kingdom of God. You see, so, you know, indeed I have sheep that are not of this fold, you know, them I must bring also. Now, and this is the revelation on that. I'm gonna get off, and I keep trying to sounding. I said that so many times today, but you see, there are two designations in the kingdom. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. I have sheep that are this. Well, we got Baptist sheep, Pentecostal sheep, Church of God in Christ sheep. Oh, no. You're either sheep or you're a goat. It's two natures, not different groups.
All
right. And once we see that, then we kill that barrier the devil's been using called denominationalism.
My Lord.
All these divisions of sheep. We divide ourselves until we divide ourselves right into a goat nature. It's just what we do. So busy, you know, I mean, we turn ourselves into a goat. Because we don't want to be like nobody else. Well, praise the Lord, woman of God.
Well, thanks again, Bishop. Everyone have a wonderful day. We have been sufficiently fed this morning.
Amen.
Thank you very much, and God bless you. God bless you, people, man.
God bless you, too, then.
God bless you, mighty man of God. God bless you, Bishop. Marriage Matters call Monday, 6 o'clock. Marriage Matters.
Yes, sir. God bless you, man of God.
You still there, Bishop?